Morning, everybody. Thanks very much indeed for showing up for this cast, the second one of my comeback, my Lazarus-like comeback, or the Raps Lazarus-like comeback. I don't want this to turn into some kind of ego trip. Hopefully I made that very clear in the last cast that I did. I want this to be about putting things out when I'm ready, good and ready, when I think I've got something to say, and trying to generate a bit more of an audience for the cast, and get a bit more sort of interplay with you, the public, my people, all my people right here, right now. So thanks a lot for showing up. Thanks for continuing to support the cast. Today, talking about Invade and Gen Z. Have you seen this? You must have done. There's a lot of chat in racing at the moment about this phenomenon, which is basically it's party organisers parties that have been organised at racecourses, primarily for young people, primarily for students, it seems. And the company Invade have had a lot of success. They've delivered upwards of 126,000 racegoers to themed racing evenings or race days over the course of the last sort of 12 months. And just looking at their website, they've got plenty more sort of racing days sort of lined up. And it seems to be well supported. And I'm just looking at, as a for example, they've got a day that they're organising at Newbury. On Saturday, February the 28th, which is a pretty sort of light day in general. It's a week or so before the Cheltenham Festival. It's the Greatwood Retraining of Horses Day, if I remember rightly. So, you know, it's as I say, most of the Cheltenham-bound horses will have had their preparation by then. So it's a fairly, what you might say, is a thin day of racing. But Invade have put a day together, and it's sold out, or the first release is sold out. There's a second release whereby you can go for get in for £23.50 in a group, and they've got two-way transport add-ons from Oxford Brookes University, Bournemouth, University of Southampton, University of Portsmouth, University of Winchester. Very much student focused, very much student orientated, and you know, this is their market, and this is what they are delivering to racecourses that partner up with them. And talking of partnering up, Arena Racing Company, one of our big racecourse owners, has now actually bought a 50% equity share in the business, in the Invade sport and equity business. Why am I crapping on about this? Some people have got a fairly sort of sniffy attitude towards this, and I suspect that this is on some sort of basis of wanting their art and wanting their sport exclusive, and why we're bringing in the kids, and it's just another pissed up day for the kids. They come in, they go on the lash, they don't watch any racing, and that's the background to it. They get in the way of the true dyed-in-the-wall race goer, and why are we looking at marketing towards these the kids anyway? I suspect that is sort of the rationale, or not the rationale, but some sort of feeling behind why some people are, I don't want to over egg it, are a little bit sort of sniffy about the whole sort of Invade phenomenon. And I get it. I sort of do understand that sort of visceral sort of impulse. Back in the day, I was one of the first people to discover Oasis, the band. I went to gigs when they were a real small-time little band. I saw them supporting a band, Whiteout, at the 100 Club in Oxford Street. I saw them at the Windsor Old Shroud. Don't bother looking for it. It's gone. It's a long venue that's long since sort of burnt to the ground. I saw them at Liverpool Lomax. You know, small, tiny little toilet venues, back in the day, and I love them. You know, and I still do. Their first two albums for me were Incendiary, some of the best music ever put to vinyl. It was at a time, I remember, when grunge was big and everyone was down on their bad selves, and here was a band talking about living forever and living their best life and just enjoying it, and they wrote some of the best tunes ever. And those were stellar days to be into a band like Oasis. And I love them. I follow them all over. Yeah, I follow them all over the world. I went out to America to see them, France, Amsterdam, Europe. You know, Oasis were my band. I got into them big time when they were really small. Got really sort of close to the band. Had some fantastic times with them. And, you know, I saw them sort of take off in 1994, they were my band, and at the time, you know, you sort of wanted them to stay small. You wanted them to stay my band. They wanted them to stay my little secret and something that, you know, I could crap on about, nobody else knew about, and you know, I wanted it to be exclusive. And very quickly on in the piece, and this sounds like a bit of a pose, but it's also the honest to God truth. I did end up getting fairly sort of close to the original band, and I saw their ambition. I saw their what really nice. I say nice guys. You know, they we know the stories: sex and drugs and rock and roll. You go for it, you know. And there's plenty of that. But fundamentally, they were ambitious young guys with their eyes on the prize that wanted to get big time. And yeah, you know, after sort of talking with them on a few occasions, yeah, you know, I bought into that, and it's like, go for it, and you get as big as you can, and you get as many people on board behind you as quickly as you can, and people buying into Oasis, and we know the story, and we know that's what happened, and that's where they went, and I'm telling you that because I sense there's a similar sort of feeling abroad about Invades and getting kids in and, you know, showing them, you know, this is racing, this is what the sport can be. And, you know, some dyed-in-the-wool enthusiasts wanting their little world to remain exclusive. And they can hide all of that behind. Well, all they do is come and get pissed. All they do is, you know, they never come out of the bars. They never see a horse. They don't know the first thing about racing. And we're just another lifestyle choice for them, another leisure choice for them, and next week it'll be the rugby and then the rowing, or, you know, whatever these bunch of Hooray Henrys, because, you know, that's what they sort of tend to be stylized as, whatever these bunch of rich, posh rich kids are going to be told to go to next. And there could be an element of truth in that. I don't doubt for one minute that is what happens. I've never actually been part of this phenomenon, me being a crusty old 60 something, but I dare say that is the case. That is also the case, by the way, with a lot of my generation that go to the racing and get into a bar and never come out and find their own little table and have their lunch and their drinks and their dinner, and they never see a horse. They may have a bet on the tote. That's it. So it's not something exclusive to Gen Z when they go racing. But you know, Invader are copying it. As you've no doubt gathered, I am very much more into the pro Invades camp. I think if racing is not exploiting this, and exploiting, that's a bit of a sort of strong word, but it's not running at this phenomenon, and, you know, obviously ARC, the racing, arena racing, have seen this sort of phenomenon behind it. They've seen they can deliver an audience to their race courses and have bought this equity share in the in Invades. I think if racing isn't embracing this, we're missing a trick. And yes, they may be just kids that come along for the booze and for the social life, and they never see a horse. That is racing's problem, racing marketing's problem. That is about retention marketing by race courses and racing. And if I am not a race course where there has been an Invades evening, or if I'm not the BHB central marketing body going to Invades and looking to rent the list of attendees at all of these evenings to do some direct database marketing with these people, to talk to them, find out more about them, send them badges, tickets, or free bets, free days out, or heavily discounted days out at future race meetings. If I'm not looking to retain these people that have put their hand up and gone, I'm interested in racing, then I'm not much of a marketeer. Similarly, if I am a racehorse or the BHB that have had a group of kids come along, or I know that a group of kids, I'm using this patronising term, kids, a group of young adults are coming along to my race meeting, and I'm assuming they're racing novices in many respects. You know, they don't know what they're going to sort of drop into. If I haven't got some body, some racing personality, Chris Hughes, so the guy off of Love Island, young, attractive, you know, somebody that knows his racing, is passionate about racing. If I haven't got him as an ambassador, to use the buzzword that's you know, very big in the world at the moment, if I haven't got him welcoming these people, talking them through what they're going to see, talking them through having a bet, talking them through the difference between the tote and bookmakers that are betting in the ring. If I haven't got somebody like that who can talk their language, who's, you know, of their generation, you don't want a crusty old fart like me standing up in front of them. I'd come off as dad trying to be hip, and that's, you know, fingers down a blackboard time, you know. But you need somebody passionate about racing that can talk to them, or at the very least, you need some sort of easily read leaflet that you can give to these young adults when they come in, going, you know, this is what you're going to be looking at. Go to the parade ring, go to the pre-parade ring, see the horses. This is what you're looking at in a horse. Take one race, don't look at all the races, because that might sort of baffle them. But look at the big race of the day. There's always one big race at a meeting, and go, these are the running riders, these are the backgrounds to these horses. This horse is a thorough bastard. He might not try, but oh boy, is he loved by people. You know, humanise the horses a little bit. Talk to them about betting. Talk to them about odds. It's a thorny subject, you know, because obviously we run the risk of, the anti-gambling world coming down on us like a ton of bricks. You're getting these people into gambling, and they'll be committing suicide within 2 years if you get them into betting on horses, which is a load of bollocks. You know, these are kids, they're young adults, and if I remember back in the Pleistocene era when I was a kid, you know, I would love to go on and get pissed, you know, secretly sort of go away, do something a bit anti-establishment, a bit anti-authoritarian. What I'm talking about is go and let them have a bet. Get them infused about betting. Not to the point where they're losing. Do they have grants anymore? Their student loans. Not to the point where they're spunking their student loan up a wall. But where they are enjoying having a bet. Having the crack between each other's of, my opinion is this, and I've had a couple of quid each way with the toe on this one. Well, why did you think that? I don't like that. That's ridden by this jockey I don't like. Or you know, the whole sort of rationale that we know as race guys behind why people have a bet. Get them involved with discussing betting and the slightly seedy sort of furtive nature of having something a little bit anti-authoritarian, anti-establishment, a bet. You know, what a revolutionary act. Who would have thought that having a bet would be such a revolutionary act? Get them involved with something like that. And make racing attractive to these people as an event to come back to. Yes, they're there initially as probably a fun day or a fun evening out. They don't know what they're seeing, and next week it could be a nightclub or a disco. The week after that, it could be the rugby in the summer, Henley, Wimbledon. I don't know, wherever these invades events are taking place. But tonight or today, it's you, your race course, and you are getting a party of these kids in. For Christ's sake, it's a gilt-edged, open goal marketing opportunity. talk to them, engage with them, show them what racing and betting on racing is all about. Talk to them afterwards, get involved with them afterwards. Didn't you have a great time when you came racing with your mates? You know, you can come back. We're racing again in a couple of weeks' time. And by the way, here's £10 off if you come. Here's free entry to you as an organiser if you can bring five of your mates with you. You know, that sort of retention marketing, when you're presented with an open goal of a bunch of people who are going to be moneyed further down the line, you know, you assume they're going to go on and get some decent jobs, maybe not be leisure rich, but, you know, get them involved in your sport early and, well, the world is your lobster. That's very simplistic, I know, but, you know, to me, I just kind of don't see a downside. I do not see a downside of this phenomenon. I do see a downside of me rabbiting on ad nauseum, boring you senseless with my voice. So let's go handbrake turn and look at a horse. I went to Windsor on Friday, day one of the Windsor Million, bookended by another meeting at Windsor today and Ascot yesterday. Three race days at Berkshire Tracks, over £1 million put up in prize money, and oh boy, were Windsor well rewarded for their enterprise. There was a great old crowd. I don't know what the volume was, but it was engaged and enthusiastic, and I had a really great time on Friday at the course. It was sunny, which helped, and we saw some good quality racing. One horse which probably won't have gone under many people's radars, given the connections and given the way he raced, was Live Conti of the Skeltons, trained by Dan, ridden by Harry. Came third in the Sovereign Handicap Hurdle, the 3:35 race worth £57,000 to the winner. Hot Fuss won it fairly sort of takingly. Willful continued his pretty sort of stellar season. He's really sort of come to the fore in 2 mile hurdlers this season. Ran off 142 at this meet in this race and probably got up a couple of pounds. As will Live Conti, who came third. You'd have to think he raced off 142 as well. He'll probably go up a couple of pounds. You'd have to think that he is being aimed at Cheltenham, or certainly, you know, a big handicap hurdle. Maybe the Betfair hurdle, the Schweppes, as used to be at Newbury in a couple of weeks' time. I just think the way that he raced, held up out the back, coming in with a big finish. It screamed the horse. It wasn't trying to win that particular day. It was tongue-tied for the first time. So I think Harry Skelton, let's be generous to him, was maybe sort of seeing how his wind was and how the horse's wind was. And, you know, might have been looking after him. Well, he was certainly looking after him, I think, for another day. What that day is, who knows? As I say, you think County Hurdle, but maybe, given the exploits of Langerdan in the back, maybe they're thinking of the Coral Cup. I am going to be interested to see what entries Live Conti gets in the next couple of weeks. He's into my tracker. He's probably into a lot of trackers because it was, what should we say, an eye-catching performance. Nonetheless, I think, you know, one to keep an eye on. And an anti-post punt cheeky fiver on the Coral Cup, maybe. Okay, that was just one from Windsor on Friday. Back at Windsor again. I'm not back at Windsor again today, but there's racing there today, and it's going to be great. And then we've got trials day next week. As I said before, I don't know where I'm going with these casts in terms of their regularity. I'm enjoying doing them at the moment, but so trying to aim for one a week, but I don't want to be sort of hamstrung and tied down by a rigid schedule. I will put something on when I think I've got something to say, and I think I've got something of interest. It'll be mostly political, small p, and social sort of observation from the racing scene. There may be a couple of bets that I'm having. I'm not a tipster, and I think that is where a lot of media, racing media, falls down. You know, people wannabe tipsters. They want the big sort of boom and look at me, aren't I clever? I had this winner, but they're not that good. And then they sort of mix it up a little bit with political and social sort of observations, and they're never quite sure who they are. I'm definitely an observer, a race goer, somebody that enjoys a day at the races, somebody that enjoys getting behind racing initiatives. Know a little bit about form, but I'm not a tipster, and anything that I talk about in here as a potential bet is a bet that I'm going to be having, not that I am saying back this is my P&L, this is the way to riches, you know. No, that's not me, as you will find out if you follow any punts that I'm going to be talking about over the course of the next sort of, well, however long you decide to stay with me. But for now, thank you for showing up. Thanks for being here for this particular cast, my second one in this series, since I have come back to the podcast proper. Thanks for showing up, and whatever you do with your racing, be lucky.